This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. On the show where you can find help and hope. And unfortunately, my co-host and sidekick is not with us today, Lynn. She's under the weather, so I'm hoping she'll feel better during the week. It's kind of like a weird kind of day here in Florida. It's just like gray. It looks like kind of what it looks like in New York before it's going to snow. They say it's going to rain. I'll deal with the rain. And who do we have on the board today? Mr. Ed, how are you today?
Not bad on Friday, but I was thinking, you know, being your recent events, we should change your intro and your music.
He's a wise guy.
That's so an inside joke.
Two days ago, I picked up my grandson from school.
Go ahead.
So 2 days ago, I picked up my grandson from school, and I got stopped by a police officer. And I said, why? And he said, just routine check. And I was like, okay, I'm good. And he went to his car, and then he came back to me, and he said, good, I did this check because your license is suspended. Oh, my God. I couldn't drive the car. He goes, if you drive after this, they can arrest you. My grandson's crying. Well, to make a long story short, I went to the motor vehicle yesterday, and it was just some issue with insurance. So it's all cool. So I'm not a convict.
You didn't run?
Oh, my goodness. It was tough.
Isn't that one of the options, just drop everything and run?
I don't know. It was not a good experience. But it's done. It's done because there were only two openings at the motor vehicle. One was the next day, and the other one was January.
Yikes.
So, and I still have to go to court and just bring my proof or whatever. So I'm like, okay.
You're covered.
Yeah, so I'm not a fugitive anymore. So the first thing I want to do is give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Jenny in Tampa, June in Largo, and Camille in St. Pete. Like I always say, there's plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether it's when you listen to us live on the radio or on YouTube or on Facebook or the reruns. We're just here to help you in any way we can. Because we know what you do is really, really difficult. So we have a special guest calling in today, Dr. George Ackerman, and we're going to talk about Parkinson's disease and his journey with his mom. But right now I want to tell you a little story. One of my caregivers called me last week, and she lives in like a rural area, and her husband has some cognitive impairment. And of course, you know, nobody ever wants to give up their keys to the car, so he drove to the stores to go shopping, and he accidentally locked his phone, his wallet, and his keys in the car. And so he's frustrated as heck, and he kicks the tire, and he's an elderly man, and he's holding his head, and he has like tears in his eyes. And so this young boy, they think he's about 15 or 16, came up to him and he goes, don't cry, it's okay, you know, what can I do to help you? And the guy goes, well, I locked everything in the car and everything. He said, well, here, you could use my phone and call your wife, and she'll bring your other set of keys. And he said, we only have one car. So the kid goes, okay, call your wife and tell her I'm coming to get the keys. And I'll go get the keys and I'll bring them back to you. And the man says to him, it's like 5 miles to my house from here. That's like 10 miles round trip on your bicycle. And the kid goes, I don't care, I need the exercise. So he went and he got the keys and he brought them back. So there are very wonderful people out there, including kids, because we always complain about how the kids are today. And that's like my Christmas story for this year, you know what I mean?
I didn't know where you were going. I thought maybe the kid had a Slim Jim on him, so you popped it.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, it was in a rural area, so, you know, there's not a lot of people around there. But how kind that was. So I was talking about this the other day in my journaling workshop, and after that I was prompted to send out an email to my caregivers and say, do you have a story you want to share or something that's happened? Because I think we need to share the good stuff. And so This one person sent me this story, and he said, Christmas has always been our favorite time of year in our family, but this year my husband, Bruce, was recovering from lung surgery for a cancerous tumor. The lack of Christmas cheer seemed to bother Bruce more than the pain of his surgery or the worry over his diagnosis. I made him eggnog, lit a fire, and played his favorite Christmas carols. Our daughter Lindsay even donned a Santa hat and passed out candy canes. Nothing helped. On the way to the surgeon's office for a follow-up appointment, Bruce said, I'm ruining Christmas for everyone. And I knew he was remembering all that he used to do to make this holiday special. I said, don't think of it that way, honey, squeezing his hand. You're here. That's all that matters. Well, then in the waiting room, we listened as a mother read the Christmas story from the Bible to her sick child, how the baby Jesus, God's light, would soon come into the world. That's what I miss most, my spirit cried. The lights, the light of the world. She said it was both a prayer and a plea. Coming home that evening, we never felt more weary. The darkness that surrounded our lives was hard enough. Now we'd have to face our dark home. But as we pulled onto our block and our house came into view, the most amazing sight greeted us. A candle glowed in every window of the house. My daughter's gift. It's time to celebrate God, I whispered. I'm here. God's here. Always here, even in a very dark place. There's something really nice about that. Think about what you can do for your neighbors. I know a couple of years ago, a bunch of neighbors went and decorated the whole outside of the house for one of their neighbors who was a caregiver, and it just made a world of difference. But I believe we have Dr. Ackerman on the phone.
Yes, how are you? Thank you and your viewers for letting me have this time today. I look forward to it.
I'm so grateful that you're with us. And so we're going to talk a little bit about this. Dr. Ackerman is from Brooklyn, New York. I was actually born in Queens, New York. And we both now reside in Florida. And he works in the fields of law, police, and education. But what this is all about today is about his mother, Sharon, who died from Parkinson's on January 1st, 2020. So George wanted to honor his mother and continue to help in Parkinson's awareness course and did not know how to bring a change. Well, together with his family, they started Together for Sharon as a family for the purpose of helping to keep the legacy of his mother and her memory alive and also to share the message of Parkinson's awareness and hope for a cure. Well, Doctor, this is very close to my heart. My brother has Parkinson's. He lives in Queens, New York. And he just had the DBS surgery, and he's doing pretty good, but it's been a journey. So can you tell me a little bit about yourself and your mom?
Yeah, I mean, it's odd that we speak today, because last night or a few days ago, history was made, where the first time in the United States they passed through Congress, it'll move to the Senate next year, the first ever national plan to end Parkinson's disease. So I'm shocked, to be honest, that we've never had anything in the law, you know, helping advocates and those diagnosed, but it was literally just has been the best holiday gift that anyone could ever have. Unfortunately for me, you know, we won't be able to use that, but what the journey is now is really about others. So we started Together for Sharon.com, really myself, just to keep my memory alive, my mother's memory alive on my journey. But I was shocked because we, you know, weren't planning on any of this. I never signed up to be a caretaker. Obviously, you don't. But I knew when my mother needed me, because she sacrificed her whole life. I am the man who I am today. I had to stand up and help her as much as I could.
And it's your mom. You know, yesterday was the 16th anniversary of the day my mom went to the Lord. And it was kind of like a melancholy day. I wouldn't say it was really sad, but it was kind of like a melancholy day. And all I kept thinking of, because of what happened with my mom, is because of what I do today. And I know my mother is up there in heaven going, she's still talking about me, that works. I bet your mom feels the same way.
My mother was funny. She would say right now, George, what are you doing this? Go spend your time with your family. But that's not how she brought me up, so we keep fighting.
Yeah, so evidently you had a close relationship with your mother, just like I had with my mom.
I'm 6'2", 200 pounds, might be working law enforcement, but I'm a mama's boy, and she was my best friend.
Yeah. So, George, how would you describe Parkinson's in your own words? Because we have a lot of listeners that listen that know about Parkinson's, and we have a lot of listeners that don't know about Parkinson's.
Sure. Unfortunately, it's a neurodegenerative disease, and it takes a really effect on the mind, the physical, the body. My mother had it for about 15 years. Back then, there was a lot, not as much research as there is today, but we've discovered that there's a lot of things that can slow down the progression of the disease, such as, you know, fitness, diet, exercise. Unfortunately, when my mother had it about 15 years before she passed in 2020, she never really talked about it a lot. It affected her for 7 years, and she only had a loss of her left arm, you know, like it was stiff, but she could still be independent, live independently. And I look back today and think maybe not, I don't know if she was ashamed, worried, or didn't want other people to worry, but she really kept it in. And I only found out really about Parkinson's 4 years before she passed, when she had gone to a special program because we were out of ideas. We tried everything, and we think they might have changed her medicines a little too drastically. And that night, unfortunately, I was called to 4 a.m. through her home, and she was moving furniture out of her house in fear that someone was inside that was going to harm her. And we learned that she also now had dementia, which was the hallucinations and delusions. And that was really the night that changed my life forever.
I'm sure. I'm sure, because who wants to see their loved one going through something like that? And then where do you turn? What do you know? What is out there? So, but tell me, what were some of the symptoms she showed before the diagnosis?
And before it really escalated badly, she had the dystonia and the dyskinesia, which is curling of the toes. She didn't have external tremors like you might see, you know, in
some
example,
people.
One of my heroes, Michael J. Fox, who is an incredible outspoken leader for Parkinson's awareness. But and then other things, they say it's so slow that, you know, they told us, the doctors, that you don't die from Parkinson's, you die with it. But my mother was very healthy. She didn't really have any other issues. But slowly, after the, you know, towards the last 4 years, she went from walking a few miles a day to going to the cane for 2 years, and to the walker, and to the wheelchair, and then bedbound. So
yeah, it's
really
heartbreaking.
It was a slow decline, but for some reason, the last stage has really accelerated. And as a caretaker and a son, I was kind of, you know, felt alone, sad. I couldn't, she would ask me specific things like, when are we going to end this? When is it going to fight? Am I going to live to see my grandkids marry, you know, their wedding, marriage?
Yeah.
I didn't know what to say. I didn't lie to her. I just couldn't answer. And that was really a heartbreaking part of caretaking for me.
Yeah, it is heartbreaking, because we care for people that we truly love. And that's part, one of the hardest parts of the journey. But, you know, I'm grateful to have this show and be able to share information, because anything we can do to make the journey for the caregiver a little easier from things we've learned, I think, is absolutely fabulous.
I agree, and really, it's not funny, but it's odd. I mean, I tell people I fight now for others. Obviously, again, it's kind of too late for my family, but I don't accept donations. I don't want a thing. I just want people, other individuals, caretakers, and those diagnosed around the world, that, you know, I send my love, we support them, and I'm never going to stop fighting until we have a cure. And some people are shocked, unfortunately, that, you know, I'm not looking for anything in return, but I do want this bill next year to pass.
Yeah.
It'll help fund more research, it'll help the families, it'll help those diagnosed to get medication. We were spending approximately $12,000 a month
just
to have somebody watching over my mother. We were worried she could fall and that would escalate things even worse. But,
exactly.
And again, as a caregiver, we had to fire a million people. Nobody knew what Parkinson's was. They didn't have a handle the medications.
And then throw some dementia in there, too.
Right. Yeah, and we don't have the time today, because I could talk to you for 20 hours about caretaking.
So. Yeah. So what do you think, what were your biggest struggles in the end?
Really accepting it, even today, 4 years later, we're coming to the holidays. I used to keep a chair for my mother, just to, for myself, because it was still tough. And then even now, did a speech the other day, or even a talk, and was fine. Walked to the next room in the office with my wife, and was in tears, because I find myself in an odd place today. I do not have Parkinson's. Obviously, I could get it. We don't know, but I don't have it. my family member is not currently alive with Parkinson's, so I'm stuck in a weird world. I'm still grieving with the loss of a loved one for Parkinson's, and I haven't seen, between us and everyone listening, any groups of support for someone like me, so I'm looking into next year to maybe start the first one.
Well, that would be fabulous. There are some Parkinson's groups on Facebook that give a lot of fabulous information, and there's some nice communities there. You might want to look into that, because the more awareness we have, the more we can do with everything. When I started doing this 15 years ago, people didn't even know they were caregivers. So how can I help them if they weren't identifying with who they were? But now it's different. We're talking about it a whole lot more. I mean, we have a huge aging population, and we need to have these conversations, and we need to find solutions. And one person can make a difference.
Yeah, in one area I've actually tried to, it sounds again out of bounds, I've been trying to concentrate or trying to reach individuals who do not have Parkinson's and people who are not Parkinson's caregivers, because unless we get literally the whole world together on this, we're never going to end Parkinson's. I've also learned that there's approximately 1 million people in the U.S. with it, but I've just discovered only 6 months ago that there's 10 million people around the world. So now I've dedicated my life to sharing other people's journeys. So in the last 3 months, I've done over 400 interviews with people diagnosed, the foundations like Michael J. Fox, American Parkinson's, and all these organs, and there's just so many amazing people that a lot of people still feel alone. So if they go to the website, togetherforsharon.com, and they can see, I've had people tell me they spent 10 hours reading stories, but they'll realize, you know, they're never alone. I've actually had the honor to speak to people from Africa, from England, Spain, Italy, Australia.
Yeah, all over the world.
Just yesterday, yeah, I did India, but I've actually shared these organs. And it's sad, I don't know if you could believe it, but in Africa, they believe Parkinson's is witchcraft. So I was shocked.
Oh, my goodness.
The problem with that is they won't treat it.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness! That's shocking to me. That's shocking to me. But you know, I do caregiver support groups, and what happens is sometimes I have caregivers in my group for 6 years, more or less, or whatever, and their loved one passes, and they still come to the support group because they want to offer help for others, and just because they love being there because they have friends there. So I started recently a mentor program. So if a new person comes into, let's just say, to the support group and their loved one has Parkinson's, the other person who was in the support group whose loved one has passed, who knows a whole bunch of stuff about Parkinson's because they've been through it, they mentor each other so they can talk outside of the support groups. And it's been absolutely fabulous. And it also gives the caregiver whose loved one has passed a new sense of purpose.
Yeah, I love that idea. I do find sometimes when I attended a few support groups, it was mainly for those still caring and living. But I felt kind of just not, I didn't want to say anything, you know, because you don't want to talk about the end of life and the different aspects of the final moments, because those people still are encouraged and want to hope that they won't have to deal with that. So it's definitely an interesting world to be in, but I commend you for, again, bringing attention to this important topic.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, we're all going to be facing something with aging, whether it's Parkinson's, whether it's cancer, whether it's dementia, whether it's whatever it is. And we need to have those conversations. It's funny, my grandson's 19, and he comes to the house with his friends, and they walk in the door, and I say, okay, boys, pull out your phone and subscribe to my YouTube channel. I say, then watch my blooper videos, because you'll laugh. And I say, then watch some of those other videos, because you boys might be taking care of me someday. And they all just chuckle. Well, recently I saw the one boy in the supermarket, and he said, I thought that was a kind of a joke with your YouTube channel, Grandma. He said, but I went and looked at it, and I showed it to my grandpa, and it's helping him with my grandma.
Yeah, I think that's amazing. Really, the future is bright. You know, we have good laws coming. We have more support. And I started Together to Share with my wife and I, but I'm, you know, hoping that my three kids someday will also continue on, because I don't want my mother to ever be forgotten because of this disease.
Yeah.
I'm actually currently working on a few books. One big one to me is the interviews. We're going to put them in a book and share them around the world. But I think I'm also a background in law and law enforcement, and I think we need some big reform. Not that they already have enough issues, but in the first responder and law enforcement field,
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's pulled over. Even, you know, we're going to visit New York soon just for the holiday. Somebody happened to be shaking when they're pulled over just for a minor infraction.
Right.
And the officer isn't aware that it's not, you know, alcohol or drugs, but it's actually Parkinson's. I could end, you know, on Channel 6 News, and that's not what I want. So I think there's a lot of things coming in the future that look up and are very positive. But without some incredible people like you, your audience, you know, working with us and helping me share the message of advocacy, we really wouldn't be as successful. But so touching, too, at this moment that we're talking, that history was literally made a few days ago with that national plan to end Parkinson's.
That's absolutely huge. So we're going to take a little break here now. Will you stick around? We'll chat a little further.
Oh, yeah. I'm grateful for your time, and thank you.
Okay, so now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So we'll be back in a few minutes on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help, because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
My mom was getting older, but she was able to live pretty independently until recently. When her case manager told me she would be discharged from rehab in just a few days, I didn't know what to do. But I knew for sure that she couldn't go back living alone at home. So that's when I contacted Sunway's Senior Living Concierge. My Senior Living Concierge, Lisa, was there for me through the whole process and was a free service for us to compare in-home care options and how that cost would compare to assisted living. With Lisa's help, we found a great new home for Mom, and she is thriving. Take it from me, don't go through this journey alone.
Hi, I'm Ellie Baldwin, co-founder and president of Sunway's Senior Living Concierge. We're a free placement and concierge service for families to help compare senior living communities and find the best place for you or a loved one. Call us today at 727-314-6451 or find us online at sunwaysseniorliving.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
I love Sunway Senior Living. You know, they take you by the hand and help you. It's not like, you know, you have a person that you're going to speak to, the same person the whole time, the same team, and they'll be there to help you all the way. So if you need any of those services, give them a call. So, George, are you updated on any current research or clinical trials for a cure for Parkinson's?
Yes, I've actually read recently the End Parkinson's Disease book by some of the leading scientists and researchers in the world. I actually interviewed one of them yesterday, and a lot of the research is being done. They're really concentrating on things like nutrition and diet to slow down Parkinson's. There are people, again, it's so different for each individual.
Right.
It unfortunately happens to me and my mother. It doesn't mean it's going to happen to someone else. So
right.
The biggest issue now is pesticides. Environment, that's the big talk. And I do feel in my heart, unfortunately, my mother lived in a nice place in Boca Raton, Florida, but for 15, 16 years, and she had, you know, mold. She had issues with termites. So they, you know, back then the sprays were her. So I think that definitely did play a role and factor. So the big thing now, in terms of research, my PhD is in criminal justice. So I'm not a medical doctor, and I don't recommend any medical advice except to see your, you know, Parkinson's disease movement specialist in your area. But I can speak about my experiences and my mother. And I find that it definitely, I feel confident. And unfortunately, again, it definitely has something to do with the environment. And not sure too much genetics, but there's so much research still to be done.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to do with the environment. And like you said, you know one person with Parkinson's, you know one person with Parkinson's. Because they're not, you know, they're not exactly the same. The same thing with dementia. Everybody's trip can be different. Everybody's experience can be different. But go out there to people, get into a clinical trial. Or if you know someone that's doing that, because that's what we need to do to find solutions. You agree, Doc?
Yeah, I agree that talking about this is critical. You know, the more we learn, and I documented the last year of my mother's life through video, film, and I kept a journal. I won't share the film and video with anyone. I thought maybe medical science they need, but I don't want her to be remembered for the last year.
Yeah.
But I am writing a book currently, and it's going to really go dark, deep, and positive. Maybe everything I went through, the emotions as a caretaker, and our journey, and hopefully next year it'll be out. But it needs to be out there. Again, I was sitting there hand in hand, my mother. They say sometimes the caretaker might feel like they have Parkinson's. Obviously, they didn't experience the consequences from the disease, but the consequences that I experienced were also horrific from, you know, the grief, from the lack of sleep, from the paranoia. Yes, I had to remove her phone at some point. She was calling the police thinking she was being harmed. Mm-hmm. I had to put video cameras in as a police officer. Reserve, you know, I take that seriously. She said the caretakers were harming her. Luckily, they weren't, but one did neglect her. We had to go through six, seven companies just to find someone to watch over her, and that didn't count. Making sure nurses showed up to give my mother the right prescriptions at the right time. Yep. There's just so many intricate pieces that I don't know how anyone can feel. Well,
and like you're saying, six, seven people, that's what it is like today. It's tough. It's tough to find somebody that's educated in your loved one's dilemma, that knows how to handle them, and because they don't give them enough, education, they don't pay them enough.
Yeah, I was shocked too that this is just something new to me. A few weeks ago, someone pointed out that I'm a rare person because I'm a male caretaker, and to me, I was really didn't even think of that because you think, you know, it's your mother, whether you're male, female, whatever, you're going to be there for them. But they said no. Unfortunately, a lot of caretakers are just, you know, they put their loved one in a home, maybe, because they just, you know, I don't blame anyone. They have their own reasons. They respect everyone. But I always swore to my mother she would always be stayed, kept at her home or my home. And unfortunately, we had just had a big plan to move the whole family in together. And personally, I don't know if I could have handled the effects of dementia and Parkinson's. And it was just the point was driving me kind of insane.
Yeah.
And I needed help, but, you know, so now I walk through the holidays through my house, and I look at this one room that was really for my mother, and it's tough because of Parkinson's disease specifically, she isn't here today.
Yeah, yeah. But there are many of our listeners, too, that have someone home right now that is with them today.
Right.
And those are the people we need to think about, and how much education and how much we can do. So do you do fundraisers or something?
Yeah, actually, we're not a foundation. It's just me and we're a website. We could move it into that in the future, but I really like just the advocacy part. I'm not into, you know, the money collecting and things. So
Right. We
actually we have three organizations we donate: American Parkinson's Disease Association, Parkinson's Foundation, and Michael J. Fox Foundation. Those are some of the leaders, but I work with so many others. There's just so many. So if you go to the website, TogetherForSharon.com, you can see the donation page, and if you click on it, it goes directly to a page dedicated to my mother, but the money will go directly to those organizations. So we don't accept money. Again, I do this because I just really voluntarily want a cure for other people and never to have to go through what we did. We actually have raised about $10,000. A lot of it was our own family donating, but the American Parkinson's Disease Association did show up at our house when we needed them. But unfortunately, a lot of the programs, like the boxing, it was too late for us. But I believe all these organizations offer some really incredible and inspiring work that's really changing the future for individuals, advocates, people diagnosed, and the caregivers in the Parkinson's community. And I have to also say how beautiful the people are, not just those diagnosed because they are, but also the caretakers and you, and everyone has really been there for me personally, supported me through this. There's some nights I don't sleep just posting on every social media you could dream, just because it helps me still cope today.
Yeah, it's, I mean, 2020 is not that long ago. You know, like I said, I had a very melancholy day. My mom died 16 years ago yesterday. And I'm actually, my mother's had dementia, but my mother had cancer. And I moved in with her the last 3 weeks of her life. And I tucked her into bed one night, and she said to me, "Good night and God bless," that she said a million times before. And I thought it was going to be the last night. And I prayed that night in her living room, "God, please give me a little longer. I'm not ready." And when she woke up the next morning, she looked good. So I started writing my book, Good Night and God Bless. And I wrote through the last 3 weeks of her life and my grieving process. And then I reconstructed our adventures from my journals and my calendars for the 18 months before. And my mom died, like I said, on the 16 years ago yesterday. I finished my book on Mother's Day. So it was definitely my healing process, writing that book. And the book was published right away, and when I went out to promote the book, every single time people came up to me crying, saying they needed help. So
yeah, I'm sorry to hear that. I wish we could find a cure for all these diseases, to be honest.
Well, I think we have to do a lot of proactive work with that, with our children, so that they're healthier, and so they eat better, and so they exercise more. I mean, definitely with any disease, there are things that are with your diet, and there are things with exercise or lack of. And
yeah,
I think that's so very important.
They recommend 30 to 40 minutes a day, no matter, you know, what, even if you have something or don't, because it can slow down even, you know, being diagnosed. A big problem in society today is not even just diagnosis, but is that loved one going to share the diagnosis with their family?
Right.
The communication huge. Also, misdiagnosis is something called Parkinsonians, which are you might visibly
explain
see.
That to our listeners. Then, Parkinsonians.
Yeah. Again, I'm not a medical doctor, but I do read a lot, and it's basically someone might show the signs of like tremors. That person might think they have Parkinson's, but in reality they don't. So guess what? If they're treated wrong, that's going to cause even worse issues. So my mother, after she passed, it was horrible to clean out her home, but I remember 4 giant garbage bags of medicines, and I was just thinking, like, this can't be healthy, even if it's treating for some, you know, just the things that we put in our bodies, just frightening me.
Well, one of my biggest fears for my caregivers and for their loved ones is over-medication and the fear of the fall.
Yes.
Because both of those can be the end, no matter what kind of disease you have. But we need to get out there, and we got to get moving. You know, I go to Curves, that's the old ladies' gym, 3 mornings a week. And there's one lady that comes in there, and she's like 90 years old, and she doesn't move around too much, but she does move around, and she's there, and she's social. And I think that's why she's 92 years old.
I bet she's in better shape than me.
Well, you know, now that I have a Fitbit, you know, you kind of have to keep track of yourself.
Right.
Which really has helped me and made me walk a whole lot. I walk about 7,000 steps a day, which I think is pretty good. But one of my caregivers got a Fitbit probably 6 months ago, and she said, "Oh my God," she said, "I looked, Linda, I was doing 1,000 steps a day," which is not much. So there are some good things with that. So, Doc, what is the last thing you want to say to my caregivers? What kind of helpful messages do you want to give them for those that are dealing with Parkinson's, dementia, or any neurodegenerative disease?
And my main goal is that people know that they're never alone. You know, I send my love, my support, especially the tough holidays for some. We care a lot about you, and you know, I'm going to continue to advocate. I feel strongly that together our voices are so much stronger. And I would joke and say I'm just getting started, even though I've been doing it for some time, but
yeah.
You know, there are things out there. I started togetherforsharon.com just to have all these resources in one place, completely free. I don't want anything in return. I just want people, again, to know that there are individuals like me who aren't looking to gain a thing except to end this disease forever, so everyone can really concentrate on their life, their family. And this thing, this disease, you know, as you said, takes, you know, 10 to, it takes your life away from the good things, from family. My mother used to love blowing bubbles on Sunday morning with our grandkids, and now, you know, my youngest is going to be 7. I don't think he really even remembers my mother, which is also heartbreaking. So, you know, I feel if we continue what we're doing, the advocacy, spread the word, get people who don't have Parkinson's involved and people who aren't aware, that we would really change this and end for the 10 million around the world and for everyone in the U.S. But I'm confident, and there's hope rising thanks to the U.S. bill, the first one ever, and Michael J. Fox Foundation research has been one of the leaders. I actually just called our senators, Rubio and Scott, today. Uh-huh. Everything's closing up today, but they've agreed to speak to me because they need to make sure they're supporting. Everyone out there who's listening can actually reach out. Now that the bill has moved from the House to the Senate, it's a lot easier because you have less senators, less work, but if we can get everybody listening today to reach out even next year to their senators and mention the national plan to end Parkinson's disease, you can actually be a part of it. So, and this is not something where I'm doing it for them, or, I mean, literally you, everybody out there can jump in, call their senators and say you want to support it. There's nothing more to do. If we can get that passed through the Senate, really going to change the world for those diagnosed, the caregivers, and the scientists and researchers to find a cure. So again, I wanted to just thank you, your listeners, your whole staff has been really heaven. And it's not a better time than now when it just passed. Holidays are coming, and I'll be fighting every day. It'll be tough because, again, I won't have my mother next to me to laugh and yell at least joke and fight over what food we're going to order for the holidays. And, you know, we can't do that. But, you know, I look back to those memories and cherish them forever. And because of you, literally, I'm able to keep going. Because if I didn't have people like you in my life, I don't know if I'd be able to fight through this.
Well, thank you, George. And once again, that website is togetherforsharon, SHARON.com. I'm going to put all the information in the description of the show for anyone that watches it later or on YouTube. And if there's anything else you want me to put in there, George, if you send that to me, I'll include that in there. But I want you all to think about absolutely cherishing the person you're with today. Being so glad that they're still with us, no matter what their issues are. And not thinking about all the other stuff, pooping and peeing and everything else. Sit down and spend some time with your loved one. Touch your loved one. Kiss your loved one. I can't tell you how many seniors there are that nobody even touches them. And that's what we're all human beings. It's what we're all about. You know, we all want our health and a roof over our heads and family. We may have different hobbies. We may have different interests. But basically, we're exactly the same. And when you realize that, it just leads to a whole bigger community. So thank you, George.
Thank you. And again, you said it so perfectly. I don't think I can't follow that. That was amazing. And happy holidays to you and your audience. And remember us all. You know, I'll be out there fighting for everyone. And I'm never going to give up till we have a cure.
Stay in touch with me, my friend, and have a delicious day.
Thank you. You too.
That was so close to my heart to hear all that. Really, that progress is being made. It's so very important because, you know, since we have this huge aging population, we don't want to just be aging and miserable. We want to be aging and be as healthy as we can. And for you that are out there that are still younger, think about what you put in your body. Think about exercising. But most of all, don't forget to be social, because that's a whole big part of your personality, of everyone's life. If you know a neighbor or someone that maybe lives alone and they're a little older, just go stop by during the holidays. Or when you go to Publix, just pick up an apple pie and some Cool Whip and just bring it to them, because many don't know how to reach out for help. And I know that there are some people that will not see their families during this holiday season. They will be home alone. But holidays doesn't have to be about family. It can be about friends. It can be about neighbors. It can be about your church. So please reach out. You know, this week I had the opportunity to volunteer with Silver Santas. And so Silver Santas is an organization that serves seniors in nursing homes and other senior communities. Because many times when people are on Medicaid, they go into one of those communities, they give them $50 a month. They take all the money that they have and they give them $50 a month. Well, how far can $50 a month? Because even though they live in that community does not furnish shampoo, different things like that. So with Silver Santas, people get to fill out a wish list of some things they would like. And a lot of it is just, they want shampoo, they want a pair of slippers, they want a bathrobe. It breaks my heart thinking that somebody's got to ask for that, that they don't have that. But the fabulous part about Silver Santas, I've been volunteering with them for years. Now they've become much more sophisticated. We have this big warehouse. I think it's like 1,200 bags get filled. But if somebody puts in that bag on their wish list that they want a Bucks sweatshirt, they will get them a Bucks sweatshirt. They're really trying to fulfill every single thing. You know, like one of the things the other day, somebody wanted a wall clock. Well, they didn't have any wall clocks, but I'm sure we can get one for them. So they put that bag on the side, and they're going to get a wall clock to put in there. So it's a fabulous organization. If you ever can get involved or make any donations, it's Silver Santas in Pinellas County. They're just absolutely wonderful. So talking about some more of those stories that I sent out the email to my caregivers to tell me a good story. Years ago, there was a woman that used to come to my support group. And then she passed away. Her husband used to come with her many times. And she passed away. And I didn't hear from them for a long time. Well, a couple of years later, I got a call, and the daughter said, you know, ever since my mom's passed away, ever since my mom passed away, my dad just sits in the chair. He just sits in the chair. They were married for 48 years. They did everything together, and I don't know what to do. She said, I went to the doctor. The doctor gave him an antidepressant, but he's still just sitting in that chair, Linda. I'm afraid he's going to die in the chair. Well, I think when our loved one passes, like I was talking about a little earlier, many of us need to find a new purpose because our purpose has been taking care of somebody full time. So I asked his daughter, what are some hobbies or things he used to do when he was younger? And she said he used to build these big model ships. I said, that's kind of cool. Could he still do that? And she said, no, Linda, his hands are a little arthritic. He really couldn't like do all those tiny pieces. So I said to her, would you like to try an experiment? And she said, I'll try anything. So I said, go to the local craft store. And they have these wooden cars that's maybe 8 pieces. I said, buy a dozen of them. Ask your dad if he could paint them and put them together because you know a nursery school that really needs them. Well, to make a long story short, he was getting up every single morning and making cars and then boats and bringing them to nursery schools and all pre-K places, and kids were Skyping with him. He was waking up with a purpose every single day. And at one point she told me, yeah, we're even sending cars and boats to, you know, schools out of town. So I said to her, wow, that must be a little bit expensive doing all that stuff. She said, guess what, Linda? The money it cost me for those supplies and that postage was cheaper than what I was paying for that antidepressant. That did nothing for him. So when I put out this email the other day about a story, she contacted me because her dad passed away a couple of years ago and told me that now her son has taken over in memory of his grandpa. And so he's making, I don't think he makes as many as his grandpa did, but he's making cars and boats and bringing them to nursery schools and places where kids go when they have problems and they don't get a lot of toys and things, and they're made from the heart with love. So that just made me so happy how you can see one thing can go to the next, to the next, to the next, and things just carry on. But right now it's time to hear from our fabulous partners, so don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week, so check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
We believe the power of the human body and mind can do amazing things, and that tapping into that power, not just tricking it with a temporary disguise, is possible. Superpatch technology uses a special pattern and vibro-tactile technology to help you go from feeling blah to hurrah. Now, once the superpatch is in contact with your skin, it triggers a neutral response in the brainstem that helps you tackle your daily problems head-on. Whether you're struggling with pain, balance, stress, or focus, we have a solution that might be right for you. With Superpatch's 30-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Hi, this is Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers. I started using the Liberty Patch over 3 years ago. I used to be a tripper, but since wearing a Liberty Patch, I haven't tripped once. The Liberty Patch is proven to reduce the risk of falling by up to 8 times. And as we all know, if you prevent the fall, you prevent the call. Don't wait until it's too late. Preventative solutions are the answer.
Superpatch does not claim to diagnose, treat, or cure illness. Superpatch is FDA registered. To receive 25% off your first order, go to sticktoit.info. That's sticktoit.info and learn more.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Yes, and I absolutely love the Super Patch. We had a Super Patch event this week, and when I see the different patches helping people with sleep or mobility, there was a woman that contacted me after that that's been using the patches for her husband who has Parkinson's, and his tremors haven't stopped, but they're much less than they were before. The best thing about Super Patch is there's no drugs. It's just a technology. So you know where to find me if you're interested in any of that. So Attorney Sean Scott has some seminars coming up starting January 2nd at Palm Harbor Library, 2 o'clock. January 5th, Largo Library, 2:30. And January 8th, Seminole Library, 2 o'clock. So you can RSVP for any of them at 727-539-0181. You go there, you get to see Sean, you can ask him any questions, he'll give you a copy of his book. You want to be prepared. You don't want to wait till the last minute if something's going to happen in your life where you may need that kind of help. So please go to one of their seminars or go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of the things that Sean has done. I think you'll really like it. So we're going to wrap up the show today with a Christmas song, and this song was written by my cousin, second cousin, third cousin, I don't know what he is, Pete Camp, 3 years ago at the age of 19. He wrote the song, he wrote the music, he played the instruments, and he sings the song. So here we go.
Matter when you're around. That just about sums it up for me. I just mean you and the Christmas tree. Christmas tree. That's just right for me. But then the door opens and we share a smile, 'cause we know that it's been a while. Oh yeah. Since we sat by the fireplace late at night, knowing that together it'll all be alright. And we piled up the blankets on our favorite chair. No need for counting, Christmas tree. You know it's all that I need.
And I'm gonna blur it out. Hold on.
That song. He's just so darn talented. But I love all Christmas music. When I was driving to the station today, I'm listening in the car to some Christmas music. It just makes you feel good. So you can find him on YouTube at Pete Camp, C-A-M-P. Check it out. Tune in next week for another fabulous show. I'm so glad that you took the time to be with us today, because I know how precious your time is. Remember that God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.